So we'll be in the book of Job this afternoon and begin with some introductory comments concerning the book of Job. As it is always good to begin with the reading of the scripture, I'll read the first chapter and then we'll come back and have some introduction to the book as we begin. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was in a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans came out 3 bands, made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do look to you, asking for your blessing upon the reading of your word and our thoughts this afternoon, that they may be of you and that you will use them in our own lives, that we might recognize your hand upon your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we consider the book of Job, we find that there is a great deal of controversy about this book of Job, especially as to its authorship, and as I have here, the person of Job. There's so many yeses on the word person here, but the person of Job. The place, the genealogy, and I spelled that wrong as well, the time period, and the generally accepted date of the book of Job. But as we look at some of the information surrounding the book of Job, we probably all have read the book of Job and are pretty much familiar with the idea of suffering and of the patience of Job, as it were, as has been attributed to him. And so we get that sense that there is something here that is of a very practical nature as it relates to the life of this person. And so we find that Job was and remains a very unique character in the Bible. The authorship of the book of Job, some have attributed the authorship to Moses, as it seems to have a great deal of information that may have been compiled by Moses, as he was a person of great ability in the early books of the Bible. As we recognize the authorship of the first five books of the Bible, being Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we also note in particular that the book of Job is also considered to be a very ancient book as well. Solomon may also have been the author of the book of Job, as much of the book of Job is written in poetical prose and has to do with poetry, and it's included within the poetry books. Job's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, all of these books that we look to as being poetical books, they have a great deal of in common with the way that the book of Job is written, and much of the content as well. Or it may be simply somebody who is unknown. This is, practically speaking, the sense of the uncertainty surrounding the book of Job, that some even say, well, the author is unknown. It could have been Moses, it could have been Solomon, but it may be somebody that we yet is undiscovered. So we don't have a clear indication of who wrote the book of Job. But that does not take away from the fact that Job is considered by all to be an actual Old Testament character, and someone that is written about because he was embedded within the fabric and the culture of the day, and the things that happened to him were those things which one can relate to very easily in a very real sense. In other words, it doesn't appear to be an allegory. It appears to be an actual account of Job's life and those things that happened to him. And so everything lends itself to a sense that it is generally accepted as a true historical figure, and that those things that are said about him actually did happen to him. Even though the authorship is a little bit, as we might say, up in the air. But most will believe that it is either Moses or Solomon who perhaps authored the book of Job. Also, as to the person, his name, Ayub, as it is pronounced here, as it has it in the 1611 King James. It's written in this fashion, Iob. His name, Jobab, is also attributed to him, and I believe the Latin Vulgate has just Job, which has been carried over into the English. So we do refer to him as Job. But if you want to refer to him as any of the other names, you can do so, because they have literary and biblical reason to do so. The place where Job lived is thought to be Idumea, in the land of Moab, or somewhere around the vicinity of Petras, which gives it that sense of Arab vicinity and acquainted with that region of the Moabites. The genealogy comes from Shem, as Shem and his descendants believed to attributed to the Job himself. And I do have a little bit on genealogy. It says, and he, Job, dwelt in the land of Arcistus, which is the same as Uz, in the confines of Idumea and Arabia, and his former name was Jobab, and he took two wives, Arabissa, and begat a son whose name was Enon, and his father's name was Zareth, one of the sons of the children of Esau, and his mother's name was Bosorah, and thus he was the fifth from Abraham. And so Job is a very well-grounded historical character and figure, even within the sense of the genealogies of the time. The genealogy from the time of Shem, and I'll briefly read it, says Shem, 2 years after the flood, begat Arphaxad of Uz, and also Aram. Arphaxad begat Selah. Selah begat Eber. Eber begat Peleg. Peleg, in whose time the earth was divided, begat Reu. Reu begat Serug. Nahor begat Terah. Terah begat Abraham. And of course, that is very familiar to you, that Terah was the father of Abraham. Abraham begat Ishmael. Isaac married at 40, and soon after, probably at 43, Esau and Jacob were born. Jacob married at 40, had Reuben, his firstborn, and Levi, born of Leah, by the time he was 44. And Levi begat Kohath, supposed at the age of 40. Kohath begat Amram, supposed at the age of 40. And Amram begat Moses, supposed at the age of 40. Shem was the father of Amram, who gave his name to the Amorites, the Syrians, and he was the father of Uz, who gave his name to the land of Uz, in which Job dwelt, not was born. For the text says, there was a man in the land of Uz called Job. So we find that Job is a very well-grounded Old Testament biblical character. And so this takes us to the time period estimated at 220 years after the flood. So we have the flood at the Tower of Babel, prior to the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, this was some 220 years after the flood, and so this time period from there would have been attributed possibly to the generally accepted date where Job lived, and probably your Bible notes might say 1,525 years before the Christian era. And so Job was a very historical figure to the people of his day, and coming from the line of Shem, and that he himself being a man of God, as we have read in the first chapter of the book of Job. It seems that the Orientals, the Asiatics, had a fabled history of the book of Job, of the narrative of the book of Job, And I'd like to take a few moments and read that for you. It's quite interesting how that their fabled account gives of the narrative of the life of Job. So I'll read that for you at this time. The history of Job, but strangely disguised, is well known among the Asiatics. He is called by the Arabic and Persian historians Ayub, which is exactly the same as the Hebrew Ayub, which Europeans have strangely metamorphosized into Job. In the Tikra, the Tikra Manteekub, is his genealogy is given thus: Ayub, the son of Enosh, the son of Razek, the son of Ais, Esau, the son of Isaac. He was a prophet and was afflicted by grievous malady 3 years, or according to others, 7 years, at the end of which, when 80 years of age, he was restored to perfect health and had a son named Bash Ben Ayub. Other writers say he had 5 sons with whom he made war on a brutal people called the Deslu Kaf, whom he exterminated because they refused to receive the knowledge of the true God, whom he preached to them. Kohindimir, who entitles him Job the Patient, gives us his history in the following manner. Quote, Job by his father's side was descended from Esau, and by his mother from Lot. Abu Kayef al-Taberi relates that Job sent him to preach to the inhabitants of Sanaya, a people who dwelt between Remaliah and Damascus, but 3 persons only received the truth. Nevertheless, as he was very zealous in the service of God, he rewarded his faith and obedience by heaping riches upon him and giving him a numerous family. This excited the envy of the devil, who, presenting himself before God, accused Job as one who was selfish in his devotion, and were it not for the temporal blessings which he received from his Maker, he would not worship even once in a day. God having given Satan permission to spoil Job of his goods and deprive him of his children, he gave the same proofs of his piety, worshiping God and before and patiently bearing his great loss. Satan, enraged to be thus baffled, presented himself once more before God and asserted that Job continued thus faithfully because he knew that God would reward his constancy with an equal or even greater portion of earthly blessings, but if he would afflict his body by some grievous disease, he would soon abandon his service and be at the end of his patience. In order fully to show the piety of this exemplary man, God permitted Satan to afflict his body as he pleased, with the exception of his eyes, his ears, and his tongue. The devil, having received this permission, blew up his nostrils of Job such a pestilential heat as immediately turned his whole mass of blood in corruption, so that his whole body became one ulcer, the smell of which was so offensive that his greatest intimacies could not approach him, and he was obliged to be carried out of the city and laid in a distant place entirely by himself. Notwithstanding, Job continued both his patience and piety. His wife, Rosina, never forsook him, but continued daily to bring him the necessaries of life. Satan, observing this, stole from her the provision she had made for her husband, and when reduced to the lowest ebb, he appeared to her under the form of an old, bald woman, and told her that if he would give her the 2 tresses of her hair that hang down on her cheek, she would provide her daily with what was necessary for her husband's support. This offer appearing so very advantageous in behalf of her afflicted husband, she accepted the offer and gave the 2 tresses to the old woman. Satan, overjoyed at the success of his plots, went to Job, told him that his wife had been caught in the act of adultery and that her tresses had been cut off. And here was the proof of the fact. Job, seeing this and finding his wife without her tresses, not supposing that he was deceived by the devil, lost his patience and bound himself by an oath that if he should ever recover his health, he would inflict on her the most exemplary punishment. Satan, supposing he had gained his end, transformed himself into an angel of light and went throughout the country as a messenger of God, informing the people that Job, who was counted as a prophet, had fallen from his piety and brought the wrath of God upon him, that he should no more listen to his preaching, but banished him from among them, lest the curse of God should fall on the whole country. Quote, Job coming to understanding how the matter stood, he recourse to God by faith and prayer and said these remarkable words, which are found to be written in the Quran. Quote, distress closes me in on every side, but thou, O Lord, art more merciful than all those who can feel compassion, unquote. On this, all his pains and sufferings immediately ceased, for Gabriel, the faithful servant of the Most High, descended from heaven, took Job by the hand, and lifting him up from the place where he lay, stamped on the ground with his foot, and immediately a spring of water rose up from the earth, out of which Job, having drunk and washed his body, he was instantly cleansed of all his ulcers and restored to perfect health. God, having thus restored him, greatly multiplied his goods, so that the rain and the snow which fell around his dwelling were precious, and his riches became so abundant as if showers of gold had descended upon him. This is the sum of the account given by the Orientals in history, who, forsaking the truth of the sacred history, have blended the story with their own fables. The great facts are, however, the same in the main, and we find them to be personality, temptation, and deliverance of Job are matters of serious credibility. Well, even though this story is a fabled Asiatic Oriental accounting, it has simply, basically, an enlarged legendary aspect to it. The real story, of course, is written in the Bible. And that is what we have. We have the account of Job and how that Job and the sufferings of which he felt and were a part of his life have become so well known to all of us. And that we realize that even the histories of people who do not believe the Bible often contain very much similar to what the original account is, even though they embellish upon it to some great extent. Just as there are flood stories and legends, which also speak of the great flood, the great Noah flood, we find that the real account, of course, is given to us in the Word of God. And because this is, in my own thinking, a story which has come into legend among the histories of the ancient people, this book also appears then to be very ancient in its context and content. So when we look at this book, we do recognize that the author is unknown, though it could be Moses or Solomon. The date of the writing is uncertain, though it was probably sometime after the time period of 220 years after the flood. So it was during the patriarchal period when the patriarchs were very much a part of the Old Testament economy of things. And we find that the person of Job is a true character in the Word of God. He did suffer the things that we note here in the Scriptures. And we find that he went through this various period of time when he himself wondered greatly at why he was suffering under the hand of God, as it were. Because he did believe in God. Because he did know the true and living God. And as you and I go through trials and sufferings as well, we sometimes wonder why that bad things happen to good people. That even those who are men and women of faith and believe in the Lord and trust in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, sometimes are afflicted, whether they be afflicted in body or whether they be afflicted in their finances like Job was, or whether they be afflicted in their household, as Job was also afflicted because of his sons and daughters being taken from him, or whether they be afflicted because the people around them that are supposed to be friends abandon them, or do bring accusation against them, or bring condemnation to them as if they are condemned because of the things that are happening to them, as if it was their fault. We find that there are many things that sometimes are a part of the great fabric of trials. And we don't always understand those trials and the difficulties that we go through. But this we do recognize, that as Job goes through these various things, he does not lose his faith. That Job does trust in God, though he sometimes misunderstands. That he is a man who is righteous before God. God has attributed him to be so. And that he is worthy of the trials and sufferings to which he encounters. Even Satan comes to him because he knows that this man is a righteous man. And he wants to bring some accusation, so he does bring those things of accusation against his character. And against his family, and against his person, his health. And yes, even that his wife says that he should curse God and die. Job does suffer all of these areas. Three areas are going to be looked at in the overall is, first of all, the historical aspect of the writing, which we will mention as we get into it. And then there is the threefold series of the controversies written in poetic form concerning the three friends and of their accusations against Job. And then we find the issue of Job's trial and the restoration to health and to prosperity in the writing as well. And so as we break these things down in the narrative, we find that there is much that is of great interest here in the book of Job. And hopefully we'll begin to answer some of those questions. First of all, we'd just like to look at the very beginning of chapter 1 as we look at this. And we see that Job is a man of God. By character, Job is one who trusts in God. Look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So we find that Job is a perfect and upright man. That is, he is a man of God. Even the legendary account of him has him as a prophet. And so he is a man who feared God, who loved God, who loved his family. And he was prosperous because he was true to God in all of his ways in life. Even we find that Job is a man who worships God and sacrifices on the behalf of his family. And so there is much here about the character of Job that reminds us that Job is an upright man. And in the biblical sense of being upright, he is one who truly feared God and eschewed evil. The idea of eschewed evil means that he shunned or pushed away evil from him. He did not allow it to come into his life, but rather he was proactive in that sense of keeping evil away from him by being true to God. Of course, the idea here of the sense of that he feared God is that he truly did love God and had a high view of God. He had a high respect for God. And so he was a man who was well respected as a man who worshiped the one true and living God. And so Job was a unique character in his own day. We might compare him with Abraham because he also is seen to be somewhat of patriarchal in the things that he is doing, and that he is a man who is risen up to that character. When I say that Job was a man who had a high view of God, he put God in a very prominent place in his life, just as we should put God in a very prominent place in our life, and realize that we are accountable to God. And being accountable to God, then our character is to be exemplary in regard to that. Secondly, here we find that Job has a family, and his family is also prosperous. Verse 2, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was, of course, very great." He mentions 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, meaning servants and those who were laboring and working for him and for his family. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. That is, those men in the Idumean area, in Moab, he was well known. He was well established among the countrymen of his own day. He knew the clans, and he knew the people very well. And so we can also recognize that he was of great respect and held in high esteem by his peers. In verse 4, "And the sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." So this manner of coming together in fellowship to break bread together and to enjoy the fellowship of the family, being a close-knit tribal group, with Job himself as that patriarchal head of the family, the extended family, was something that they participated in. It was part of their cultural identity to come together as people among their laborers and among their home. And so they had many people that could come together in their family. Having these brothers and 3 sisters, then there was a great company of people, as we might also gather, that they had wives and children and servants and so forth. And verse 5, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." So when do we find Job coming to before God? We find him coming very early in the morning. The priority of those things which Job had before God were to put God in first place. And so he brought his sacrifices very early in the morning. No doubt he had his own altar, which was established according to the practice of the day. There is also some connection here to the commandment of God and the law of God, as we find that the offering of sacrifices was well in place in the patriarchal period, that Abraham offered sacrifices upon altar to God, and that even Noah did, of course, very early. So we find that this whole system and economy, this patriarchal economy of worship to God, of worshiping at the altar, of bringing the sacrifices before God, these were well established in the life and times of Job. And so Job is doing this. The second thing that we note about this is that Job is offering sacrifices for his family. Since he is acting as the high priest for his family, then we recognize that probably this is prior to the period of time when the priests and the tabernacle and later on were all established. And so Job is acting like one of the patriarchs, like Abraham and like Noah, and he is offering up the sacrifices for his family. He is acting like a priest unto God for his family. And so he is offering sacrifices of prayer and thanksgiving and sanctification, as it were, unto God for his family. And of course he gives reason for this as he offers these burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And so we might gather also that as all of the children were within his confines of authority and responsibility in worshiping and offering sacrifices, he offered sacrifices for each of them. And it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. And so he had this sense of intimacy with God, that he was responsible to God for his family, and that as the patriarchal head, he would then be held accountable to take into account the fact that his sons and his daughters may have sinned unknowingly, unwittingly, and that it was his responsibility to offer these sacrifices for them, and so that he did offer them and bring them up before God. And so this is in the very beginning here of the chapter, we find Job's character, we find Job's family, Job's prosperity, and Job's faith before God. And all of those areas within the confines of his home, culturally, his cultural identity, that he was well known, he feared God, that the people around him knew him, they knew that he was a man of God, they knew that he served God, they knew that he was upright and perfect in the sight of God, they knew that he did no evil, but rather put evil from him. And so in this sense, we identify the person of Job. And he is a very believable character. In fact, he is embedded within even the fabled history, as I read to you, of the Asiatics and Orientals, though they somewhat embellished upon it. We find that he is very much embedded within their own natural history. So he is a character of great importance in the Old Testament. One, as we go through the book of Job, we can identify with ourselves, realizing that we also are to fear God, to eschew evil, that we are to be responsible to God on a personal level, that we are to give God the very best of our worship, even as Job was willing to do so, and that we are to honor God. Even though that we might say that trials or sufferings or persecutions in the various forms and types might come upon us, we also are to be true to God and to realize that God has his hand upon the circumstances of our lives, though he may for a time allow that suffering come. And this is the life of Job that we will look at. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for these few moments that we have had considering Job this afternoon. I pray that you will help us to think upon these things and of the true character of this man of God who loved you and served you and that was restored even to all the blessings that you previously had given to him, that he went through this time of suffering with a great deal of truth and fidelity as one who loved you and wanted to continue serving you and would not in any way relinquish those aspects of his true faith which kept him as the man of God. Father, we do pray your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.